Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and then get ready for Mark chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and then Mark chapter 12. Romans 12, Mark 12. Nowhere does the Bible more strongly contradict the world, and nowhere does the world more strongly contradict the Bible than in the topic we're going to look at this afternoon. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the matter of self-esteem. Self-esteem. It seems that people are taught today from the cradle to the grave that no thing, no one is more important than self. The greatest love is to love yourself, and the greatest faith is to believe in yourself. The greatest purpose for living is to live for yourself. And what we've created is a world of very unhappy people because they can't find anyone else that will agree with them on that. that their life or their opinion or their desires are supreme because they're surrounded by other people who are equally self-centered, self-loving, and self-serving. And the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse number 3, and this will be our starting place today, Romans 12 verse number 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we do want to hear what you have to say on this subject of self-esteem. I know, Lord, we talked about humility before, and it's very close, but Lord, I know there's something here that we need to get, and so I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would open our understanding today, help us to remember what we've done this past week and how we reacted to people and the way they treated us, and help us, Lord, to consider those things and consider how we might have done better in those situations and according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, before I start, I know what I'm up against. The question is going to be, but shouldn't I teach my children to be confident? Well, yes, but teach them to be confident in the Lord, confident in the gifts and the abilities that he has given them, but not confident in themselves apart from the Lord, okay? You say, shouldn't I teach my children to believe in themselves? Well, what exactly does that mean, believe in yourself? Believe that you can accomplish anything if you just dream it? I mean, believe that you can be anything as long as you just set your heart on it? That's setting up people for a whole lot of depression and a bottle of pills, I think, and unhappiness. I mean, think about it. If you're 6'4", you can dream all you want to, but you're not going to be a horse jockey or an astronaut, okay? You're too tall to be in the space program, and you're going to break that horse. So, you know, you can dream all you want, but you're not going to be either one of those things. You're too tall, okay? And there's more to this thing than just believing then and making it happen, thinking you can make it happen. There's got to be some talent. There has to be some ability, some study, some dedication, some aptitude, and you also have to have opportunity. All of those things are out of our hands and out of our control. What happens to the man who believes in himself? He gives credit to himself instead of giving thanks to God and giving glory to God. If you tell your son that he's the most handsome boy that ever lived, well, he's only going to enjoy that until he meets someone else whose parents have also told him that he's the most handsome boy who's ever lived. And you could tell your daughter, oh, I think in my eyes you're the most beautiful girl who's ever lived. But if you keep telling your daughter she's, you know, the most beautiful girl who's ever lived, she's going to be disappointed when she starts coming across magazines and websites and actually getting out of the house and meeting other people. she might not be, see. And so I don't want people to go through life dragging along with their lip hung down, woe is me, I'm miserable, woe is me, I just can't do anything. That's not what I'm aiming at today. But at the same time, these people that are breaking both arms, trying to pat themselves on the back when they've actually accomplished nothing and never will, that's just a little annoying, I think. So here's what the scripture says in Romans 12, which we just read, verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me. Okay, so he's not taking credit for what he's saying here. He's letting us know this. He's not saying these things to be hurtful to anyone or negative at all. It's through the grace given unto me. To every man that is among you, okay, among you. So who's he talking to? He's saying, I can't say this to unsaved people out there in the world. They'll never get it. They'll never believe it. But to every person who is saved, you ought to have a different point of reference than people out there in the world. Okay? We're not comparing ourselves to each other either this afternoon. We're comparing ourselves to the Son of God. We need to keep that in mind, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So if I compare myself to Jesus Christ, that makes it hard for me to be the greatest, doesn't it? It makes it hard for me to be number one or to think that I am. That makes it hard for me to think that I should be the one to be worshipped and adored, because compared to Jesus Christ, well, finish the phrase here. He says, every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I'll show you in a minute how highly we ought to think of ourselves. But just first, at the starting point, if I think of myself more highly than I ought, I'm not thinking soberly. I'm not thinking soberly. Wouldn't you agree with that? When someone has consumed too much alcohol, they think that they can beat up people that they can't really beat up. They think that they can get a date with the girl that they don't even have a chance of getting a date with. So it makes them crazy. Okay? You know what the Lord said? When you drink too much self-esteem, you start acting and talking the same way. It's not a sober approach to life to believe that. To believe that you're the greatest, I'm the greatest. It's not a sober, the entire world revolves around me and should, because I esteem myself that highly. That's the talk of a drunk. Quite honestly, it's someone who's not rational in their thinking. And so the Bible says here, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so the Lord says, the only reason you're saved, I gave you a Savior that you could believe in. The only reason you're saved is that I made salvation so simple that you could get it. Whether you just got saved or you've been saved for 80 years. But none of us have ever gotten to the place where we could have been saved were it not for the grace of God through simple faith. None of us could have ever been saved had God not provided us a Savior to believe in. And the Lord said, just considering how impossible it was for you to get from hell to heaven, from lost to found, from sinner to saint, why would you be taking any glory for yourself and not giving all the glory to God? I should esteem myself in accord with the understanding of where I would be without Jesus Christ, of how simple God had to make it for me to have Jesus Christ as my Savior. That should put me in my place. Now, let's go to the Mark passage, the passage in Mark. Before we travel around this Bible, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the third commandment is, Love yourself supremely." No, because Jesus really said the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Okay, so Jesus Christ summed up the key to a blessed life in just these two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what about me? What about loving me? It's not part of happiness. It's not part of contentment. It's not part of satisfaction. It's not part of a blessed life. I mean, now come on, just listen tomorrow when you go to work to people who love themselves and try to hear one of them who's expressing contentment and happiness. Listen tomorrow at school to people who were taught from the time of the first bell rings till the dismissal bell rings at the end of the day to believe in yourself, love yourself, highly esteem yourself. And listen, if you can hear one of them who's actually enjoying life. You see, we're deceived. We're really deceived. The Lord says, put God first, put your neighbor second, and that'll keep you busy all day long. And the world comes along and says, no, 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 forget God, forget other people, put yourself first. You know that's true. Whitney Houston, she comes on the radio and says that learning to love yourself, that's the greatest love of all. And the people who live according to that philosophy are the very ones who say, please, please, I need a pill to get to sleep. Please, I need a pill so I can wake up. Please, I need another drink. Please, I'm depressed. Please, I'm unhappy. Please, I'm suicidal. It is not working, you see. Self is not the key to self-fulfillment. Or you'd be fulfilled before you started trying to be self-fulfilled. You know, I got no God in my life, got nobody else in my life, I'm unhappy. Well, then self is not what it takes to make you happy. So the Lord, who wrote this book because he loves us and cares about us and wants us to have life more abundantly and said so, he said, love God and love your neighbor. That'll keep you busy all day long. All right, why should I restrain that self-esteem? Psalm 62. Psalm number 62. And verse number 9. Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Okay, there's nothing to them. And men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. Okay, so let's stop for a minute. You remember what a balance is. Okay, so on one side, he says, I'm going to put all the low people and I'm going to put all the high people. Okay, so men of low degree, men of high degree on one side of that scale, and I'm going to put them on one side. And then he says, to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So God said, on this side, you got all those low people and high people. And on the other side, let's put nothing. And the Lord says, nothing is going to tip that scale. Okay, now that's not someone over here on one side of the scale, someone over here on the other side of the scale. Okay, that's not I'm a hardworking man, and I provide for my family, and that guy over there, he's just a bum. We're not comparing one human against another. Okay, we're looking at God's estimation of everybody, each individual combined. And, you know, he says, if I was just going to scrap the whole project and start all over again, God says, I'd be better off just drowning everybody in a flood and starting all over from the beginning than I would be to try to fix this mess that was created when I made man. That's what he's saying. Now, you say, well, I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good citizen. But if the Lord has me to work with, or just himself to work with, I'm just telling you, he can get a lot more done, a lot more efficiently without me than he can with me. I really just make God's work more complicated. Okay, I really just make God's work more difficult. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, if it's just me, just the Trinity, we could just get this thing done. We wouldn't have any sin to deal with. We wouldn't have any failures. Wouldn't have any shortcomings to deal with. And so the Lord says, look, let's just weigh this thing out. Just me with no help, and with all you guys helping me. Okay? And he compares that. So if anybody's going to get a song sung about them today, don't you think it should be Jesus? If anybody's going to get praise today, it should be Jesus. Amen. If anybody's going to be worshipped today, it should be Jesus. Let's try another one, Psalm 39. So I'm just saying, the value of my contribution, that doesn't give me any grounds for self-esteem. Psalm 39 and verse number 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, okay, watch this, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Now here, God, he really pours it on. He said, I'm not talking about your bad days. You know, how about what's your best day? Your best day. You add nothing to me, he says. You add everything to you. Your best day, God says, your best day, I'm no better off for having you. You're better off for having me. On your best day, I do everything for you, and you do not a lot for me. Okay, now, if at my best state, I'm altogether vanity, what am I on the other 364 days and 23 hours out of the year? Not much. Not much. Now, again, if we lined up today and we arm wrestled, we could narrow the thing down to where we had a champion arm wrestler or alligator wrestler or camel wrestler here, I guess, I don't know, or marksman or mathematician, whatever you want to compete between, you know. Okay, all of us have skills, we have abilities where I could say, look at me, I can run faster than him. Okay, look at me, I can do equations more rapidly and more accurately. Okay, we could all do that with something. Okay, but then the Lord says, hey, up here. Yes, Lord. Well, name something that you can do better than me, other than sinning. And that's it. That's it. Apart from what ruins my life and other people's lives, I can't do anything as well as God or better than God. So if we eliminate God, if we're just like like evolutionary animals or something. If we're just headed for a hole in the ground and that's it, we spend our lives trying to outperform other humans to boost our self-esteem. Makes us feel good when we can beat someone at something, right? But if we know that we came from God and we're going to return to God and that we're answerable to God, that's going to really humble us without depressing us. Without depressing us, you see. It humbles us without bringing us to despair, because if I'm the nothing on that scale, if I'm the nothing on my best day, and the Son of God is hanging on that cross, shedding his blood to pay for my sins so that I can spend eternity with him, woo, how greatly am I loved. A biblical view of self-esteem ushers you into the greatest love you could possibly know. Okay, I'm asking the whole world to love me because I'm great, right? And God says, no, you're nothing, and I love you. We say, world, love me. Look how handsome I am. Look how strong I am. Look how fast I am. Look how rich I am. Look how powerful I am. And the world doesn't care. You hit the top, you get to stay there, what, 1 or 2 years, 3, maybe 4 years, and then you bottom out when the next superstar comes along, because the world has got no loyalty. You're just a fad. You're a phase. You get to the top, you look around, and down you go. That's it. That's it. I mean, John Quincy Adams, he was a president. Who cares? Taft, boy, that guy did it all. Who? That's what you're saying, right? Who? Nobody cares. President of the United States. Soviet leader Vladimir Lenin was powerful enough to govern, to rule about a third of the landmass of this earth at one time. I mean, there hadn't been anybody like Lenin since maybe Nebuchadnezzar or one of the Caesars. And, you know, they make all this big deal about Hitler killing 6 million, 10 million, 13 million, or some of our brethren think, zero. but Stalin and Lenin, they killed maybe 10 times the number of people that Hitler killed. Last picture of Lenin is a picture where he's in a wheelchair staring out into space, just staring there, and because he'd had a series of strokes. He couldn't speak, he couldn't walk, and he couldn't feed himself. Not such a big boy now, is he? Not so powerful now. You know what? Strokes may be in my future. Okay, wheelchairs may be in my future. Somebody feeding me with a straw might be in my future. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and I've believed on him, and I will not perish. I have everlasting life. I don't need to try to prove myself superior to other humans to try and acquire the love and the adoration of other humans. God loves me today. I can be content in that. I can rest in that. I can be satisfied by that and confident in that. You can't trust in man's praise and worship and the glory that a man might give you. Some new guy, he's going to come along and the king is dead. Long live the king. I'm just saying that people rise and they fall, and then people don't care about you anymore. For several decades after Elvis died, people were saying, Elvis, he's number one, he's the king. What about now? There's not many people saying that today. Elvis, he's not number one. The Beatles were really big for a while. They're not number one. Elton John, he was next. She's not number one anymore. Michael Jackson, he's not number one. And I got to stop there because I don't know anything about where it goes from there. But you understand what I'm saying, okay? People say, oh, he's the greatest. Okay, this year, yeah. Not next year. Oh, she's the number one box office movie star. This year, okay, not next year. Jesus Christ, number one every year, year after year after year after year, every year, forever. And he knows me, he loves me, he saved me, and he keeps me. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at Proverbs 28. Young people say, nobody loves me. You're wrong, though. You're wrong. Jesus loves you. Proverbs 28, verse number 21. Here's the third reason we ought not to have any self-esteem. Verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. All right? Well, I'm an American, so I can talk about American stuff in America. My country is safe compared to much of the world. It's clean compared to much of the world. It's sanitized. It's protected. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happens. If the money fails, if the bombs start falling, if the virus comes in and infects, if the plague lands, I'm telling you, the majority of Americans, they're decent, upright, moral, respectable human beings, yeah, as long as there's food in the store and food in their house and food on their tables. But I don't care what country you live in. I don't care how well educated you are, how much soap you can buy. If you run out of food, all bets are off. You're going to see people change. Okay, you run out of food, it's man eat dog, dog eat dog, man eat man even. It's on. You know what the Bible said? You would break any rule, any relationship, any neighbor if he's got food and you don't have food. Okay, people say, I'll go through the tribulation. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Somebody's going to die. You got food. They don't have food. Somebody's going to die. It's going to be bad. So it's easy to look upon ourselves as noble, righteous, upright, moral. We're the shining light on the hill. We're the examples of what people ought to be. And we can say that because we've got three meals a day and snacks in between. Look what starts happening in your house as soon as dinner is late, or in the restaurant when they're a little bit slow delivering your fast food. Okay, they don't get that food to the drive-through window in under 60 seconds. What do? You're ready to grab the guy who's frying your burger and demand that he produces it out of thin air right now. Where's my burger? Right? And what can he do? Oh, we're making it, sir. We realized you asked for no pickles. We accidentally put pickles on it, so we got to remake the whole thing without the pickles. And well, hurry up. I'm almost out of donuts here. Got to have something in one hand at all times. Look how we get in the flesh when we get hungry between meals. You have any idea what would happen in just one of our cities if the food trucks didn't arrive? It'd be bad business. Bad business. So the Lord says, your self-esteem Yeah, you can have that as long as the water is running, as long as the lights are on, as long as there's food in the refrigerator. But if you start suffering and you start having a hard time, you're going to find out you're not better than anybody else. You can only have self-esteem as long as things are rolling the way they ought to roll. All right, so, I mean, think about some of the great heroes of the faith. Noah, the great ark builder, right? Noah and the ark, you know that man. He saved the whole human race, all eight of them. Turn the page and he's passed out drunk, exposed for his own sons to see. I wouldn't put Noah on the throne. He might build an ark and save me from a flood, but then he might teach my sons to drink alcohol and pass out on the floor. What about Abraham? Believed God about those stars, believed God about leaving his homeland. Then his faith failed and he lied. He just looked a man right in the eye and lied to him. God gets him out of that, turn a page, and he's looking another man right in the eye and lying to him. Abraham's a great man, father of the faithful, but he wasn't very faithful. Example to everyone who would ever believe of how simple it is to be saved, if you just believe, but I'm just saying, you wouldn't want to be married to him. What about Moses? We know all about Moses raised that rod and the Red Sea parts, raised that rod and the plagues came down on Egypt. I bet there are people here today that don't know that Moses served 40 years for murder. I wouldn't put Moses on the throne. He might kill you. What about Aaron? Oh boy, look at those fancy garments. Nobody ever wore those high priestly garments until Aaron did. Nobody had ever had that mitre on his head until Aaron did. Nobody had ever stood at God's altar and on behalf of 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people, offer a sacrifice to God. There he is. That's Aaron. You know what Aaron also has in his history? He made a golden calf and taught people to dance around an idol in the very presence of the true and living God. Wouldn't put him on the throne. What about David? Slew Goliath. Slew that giant. Killed a lion. Killed a bear. I mean, you might be a big game hunter, or you might like wildlife, but they're not much to look at. But guess what? Bathsheba is all it took to kill David or take him down. She knocked him out of the saddle. You say, boy, that David, he wrote all those great psalms about the Lord. He sure did. You say, boy, that David, he fought great battles for the Lord. Yeah, he did. Right before he committed adultery. Right before he had a woman's husband assassinated to cover up his other crime. Now, David was a better man than I am. But I wouldn't worship David. Solomon, with his idols. Elijah, running and hiding in a cave after calling down fire from heaven. Simon Peter, walking on the water. Simon Peter, right after saying, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's good, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father gave that to you, and that's straight from heaven. Good for you, Peter. Turn the page. He's cursing, swearing, lying, denying he ever knew Jesus. How about that? What about the great Apostle Paul? Never been a Christian like him. I wonder what he could have accomplished if he hadn't climbed over one hurdle after another when God said, don't go to Jerusalem. I don't want you in Jerusalem. Do not go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit had Paul write down in the scriptures? He said, take out a pen, write it down, Paul. I do not preach where other men have preached. I do not go where the gospel has already been proclaimed. Puts the pen down, books a ticket, goes to Jerusalem. Listen, I'm not standing up here just knocking these men to say, look at me, I'm better. No, I'm telling you, the best people that God ever had are not worthy of having our crowns cast at their feet. And if these men are not worthy of our great high esteem, then none of us is worthy of other people of giving any esteem, high esteem to us. Okay? All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Today, honestly, I don't feel good about myself, but I know I'm loved, and I feel really good about that. I'm loved by the one who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm loved by the one who not only said, I'd die for you, but he did die for me. I'm not only loved by the one who said, I'll live with you till death do us part. He's already done away with death. Death will never do us part. Praise the Lord. When I breathe my last breath, death will be there to usher me into the Lord's presence. So I don't have to crave the love and the affection and the approval and the acceptance of people who are frail and sinful just like me. I can rest in this love that I have from God and from Jesus Christ. And I'm okay with that. It's great. And do you know why we get offended and hurt and insulted and then we get bitter inside and lose? Well, I went through a time this week, I tell you. I actually went through a time where I lost sleep over something somebody said because, oh, I didn't deserve that. He's blaming me for something I didn't do. See, I had my self-esteem was too high. So the Lord's dealing with me this week on this stuff. So this is not just for you. It's for me too. But you know why we get offended and hurt and insulted and bitter? It's because somebody said something that showed that they didn't think as highly of us as we did. Right? I mean, call me a dummy. Okay, I'm a dummy. I mean, and I can say that because there's a million things that I don't know anything about. Now, if I think I'm a genius and you call me a dummy, now my feelings are hurt. That's how that works. Philippians 2, verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. See that? Lowliness of mind. Each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. All right, so think about some things. The New Testament tells us how to deal with being offended. If I think you're better than me, it's really hard for you to offend me, if you think about it, right? So many sins that we commit, so many problems that we create could not exist were it not for my self-esteem and my high regard for myself. He took my seat. Well, so who are you? Who do you think you are? I wanted that and she got it. Well, but wouldn't you rather that she has it than you? Okay? I mean, just think about all the times we get our feelings hurt or we get angry or we get insulted or feel like we're being slighted. It's only because in our mind we're thinking, I deserve better than that. Right? Well, if I could get over the I deserve better, I would get over a lot of those hurts. And it's not replaced by self-criticism either. So don't go there. Okay? Don't go to, you know, oh, woe is me. I'm good for nothing. I'm just a lowly worm. You know, I'm nobody. No, that's not true either, because I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is it's okay if you don't have any interest in me. The Lord does. Okay? He never takes his thoughts away from me. That's all I need. All right, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. Verse number 7. Here's an illustration of what we've been talking about today. Verse 7, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. That would be insulting, wouldn't it? Okay, look at me, I'm sitting at the head table. I'm important. And then here comes the guy who's in charge of the banquet and says, what are you doing sitting at the head table? You're a loser. Go sit over there. And everybody laughs at you. Ha ha ha, he thought he was sitting at the head table. Verse 10, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, here's a little secret I'll let you in on, especially the young people. I'll let you in on a little secret. If it is in everybody to love themselves, if it is in everybody to exalt themselves, if you will humble yourself, by doing so, you have made yourself less of a target. If people don't feel that they have to compete with you for the attention, compete with you for the adoration, compete with you, for the prize, then they're not going to approach you with a competitive attitude all the time. So let's compliment other people. Speak well of other people. Give way to other people. Let other people go first and have first choice in whatever it might be. They'll be a lot more inclined to be gracious and kind and polite to you because you're not a threat to their little kingdom. You're not a threat to their perceived self-grandeur. You'll be treated a lot better if you take the low place than you will if you square off with everybody you meet and you're a challenge to them or a threat to them. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter number 4. First Corinthians 4, verse number 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. You know what sets people against each other? Their pride does. Their self-esteem. I think I'm great and you don't. We're going to have it out. It's going to be a problem. Well, I think I'm great and you don't. We're going to have it out. Why don't we both just say, Jesus is the one who's great. Isn't that great? Then we're both, isn't it great that we're both loved by Jesus? Now we're not squaring off against each other. We're on the same side. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? as if thou hadst not received it. Okay, so if you can run fast and somebody else can't, well, where did that come from? From God. Somebody's got skills in school and others don't. Where did you get that from? From God. One has this gift in the church, the other has that gift in the church. Where did it come from? From God. Now, if we start glorying in the talents that God gave us instead of glorying in God, we're going to have conflicts. If we start glorying in the abilities God gave us instead of glorying in God, we're going to have conflicts. But if whatever we do, we can do it for God's honor and God's glory and not our own, it'll really take away a lot of the strife, a lot of the contention. So the Bible says in verse number 8, now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Okay, so Paul, he didn't say, oh yeah, I'm better than you. He said, I wish everything that you thought about yourself was true. It would be all right with me if you were the greatest. I'm okay with that. Verse 9, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So here's what he said. I don't care how you treat me. I got the pleasure of getting to win you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that made the Lord whom I serve happy with me. And I don't care what you think of me. You're saved. You're in the church. You're learning the Bible. You're growing in the Lord. Sure, you might be a little bit stuck on yourself. I trust that God's going to deal with that. It's not my problem. I'm just glad you're saved and in church and learning the Bible. I mean, it's not going to ruin my life if you think you're great and you think I'm nothing. That's okay. I belong to Jesus. I'm glad to be of help to you. He said, as a father with his children. You know, one of the things that's a blessing about getting older is you reach this place in your life where it finally dawns on you the million things your parents did for you that you didn't even notice and certainly didn't appreciate when you were small. And then when you get to live a little bit longer, your kids have that same light break in on them, and they start realizing, man, it wasn't fun to go to work every day, was it? It wasn't fun to put up with all that stuff Dad had to put up with, Mom had to put up with. You know what Paul said? I'm just like your dad. I'll go to work for you. I'll pay the bills. I'll put the clothes on you. I'll put a roof over your head. And you can find fault with me every day for not doing things the way that you would do it if you were the dad. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm just glad to do it. If you were raised right, you were raised by people who sacrificed their self-esteem to put up with their children. And you know what the Lord said? Just go to church and be like Dad. Just go to church and be like Mom. Do everything you can for other people who don't appreciate it and often find fault with what you do to help them. And you'll be happy, and they, even if they're not. So that's a different concept, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, one more verse. One more place, I should say. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm convinced when I read the New Testament and what I've been able to read of church history, I'm convinced the greatest Christian who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. He accomplished more for God. He spread the gospel farther. He ventured and risked and suffered what few have ever experienced. All of that wrapped up in one man. And yet the Holy Spirit allowed him to write these words because they were true. Because they were true. Look at these. Verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You know what made Paul great? He never thought that he was great. He always thought, I don't deserve anything that God's given me. And that's what made him the great Christian that he was. Look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He says, I could have been in hell, but the grace of God. He could have left me blind sitting there in that house on State Street, but by the grace of God. I could have died that first time they threw rocks at me, but by the grace of God. I could have been refused admission into the church after I persecuted them like I did, but by the grace of God. He never, ever took credit for what he did for God. He always gave God the credit for what he did for God. He never, ever thought, look what I did. He always thought, look what God did for me. You want to be content? Love God and love others. You want to be discontent? Keep loving yourself. You want to be content? Exalt Jesus Christ and try to lift up other people. You want to be discontented? Spend your whole life trying to lift up yourself. You know, young people have no idea what an incredible big deal it used to be to get your picture in the newspaper. Everybody in town got the newspaper, but hardly anybody ever got their picture in that newspaper. So when you got your picture in the newspaper, your self-esteem, it went off the charts because everybody in town saw your picture in the paper, making that touchdown or having that prize-winning calf or whatever it might be that got you in the paper, whatever group you were in. Well, today's different, isn't it? There's no newspaper. There's the internet. And everybody in town, they're not looking at the same website. So people are desperately seeking every day to come up with a great post that's going to get the town to look and say, wow. And you've never seen so many unhappy, depressed, down in the dumps people as you see competing for clicks and likes and views and impressions and, hey, everybody, look at me. Look at me. Selfie time. Right? Oh, they're not looking. Here, let me take off more clothes and so they'll look. Oh, they're not looking. Let me ride my bike off of the second story roof instead of the first story like I did last time. Please, somebody look at me. And Christians go from house to house or they stand on a street corner and they say, hey, somebody noticed you. And somebody is interested in you, and somebody wants to love you and fill your heart and provide your needs and be a blessing for you for time and eternity, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And what the world is craving, that attention that they're longing for, they can have it in Jesus Christ if they just get over their prejudice against him and let him prove himself to be what they've been looking for all along. The town doesn't have to know my name. Jesus knows. The world doesn't have to bow at my feet. Jesus is, he's going to let me sit at his feet for all eternity. I don't have to be a somebody in the minds of people passing by that I'm never going to see again. I'm somebody that Christ died for, saved by his grace, came to live inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if I just had to stand here today and all I had to say was abandon self-esteem, but I didn't have Jesus, that'd be a terrible thing. I'm telling you to give up something that has been proven. It can't bring you satisfaction. Give it up. And instead, get wrapped up with someone who can satisfy. That's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Darkness to light, death to life, unhappiness to joy, uncertain future to everlasting bliss in the presence of God. Think less of yourself, more of others, and others will think more of you. Strange how that works. Well, all right, let's pray. Father, help us today in this world that's constantly telling us that we ought to exalt ourselves. Help us to remember the first person that ever tried that and what happened to him. Lord, help us to remember how Jesus, when he humbled himself, found that he was highly exalted and given a name above every name. We thank you, Lord, in his name. Amen.